Hey, take your Bibles and go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. What are you prepared to do? Back in the late 80s, I believe it was 1987, a movie came out that starred Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness and Sean Connery as Jim Malone and Robert De Niro as Al Capone. I think they typecast him, knowing Robert De Niro. And in the midst of that movie, Jim Malone, played by Sean Connery, he's teamed up with Elliot Ness because obviously they want to take down Capone. He was a criminal, and he needed to be put in prison. And at one point in the movie, Jim Malone has joined forces with Elliot Ness, and Capone realizes that, and they got Jim Malone's address, and he sent some of his hitmen to get this guy. We got to take Jim Malone out. Now, Jim Malone, he was just a retired beat cop. That's all he was. He was just a cop. He just walked the beat for 30 years. He's retired. But nonetheless, he knew the evil that Al Capone was bringing upon the city of Chicago. So Capone decided, I'm going to take this guy out. So he sends his hitmen, and they get his address, and so they go to Jim Malone's house, and they just, I mean, they light the place up, man. They just, all kinds of bullets are flying everywhere. And Sean Connery's character, Jim Malone, is laying there on the floor, and he's pretty well shot up. He's on his last moments, and he knows it. And Elliot Ness just comes to the house because he knows that this has happened. So he gets there, and he finds Jim Malone laying there on the floor. He's on his last breath. He knows he's about to die, and he grabs Elliot Ness, and he says this phrase to him, "What are you prepared to do?" In other words, are you prepared to do what it takes to take down this criminal? Are you prepared to do what it takes to make things right? Are you willing to do what it takes to make this thing, this evil that has come, this cancer that has come in our society, get it out of here? And of course, if you watch the movie, you know in the very end, of course, and the story goes, Capone eventually was put into prison on tax charges and what have you. But nonetheless, what are you prepared to do? And that's the title of our message today. Here, as we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. What are you prepared to do? We've been talking about vision for the past couple of weeks, and we'll continue that through the month of June. What's God's vision for your life? What is God's vision for Central Baptist Church? Yesterday, I met with a bunch of our leadership. I don't know, there were about 14, 15 of us there yesterday, and we talked about, you know, what would we like to see God do in our church? Where are some directions we could go? What are some things that we could do? When God looks at Central Baptist Church, what does He want us to be? And we started to develop that vision a little bit, and I'll share a little bit more about that as we get towards the end of the month. But for now, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. If you would, please stand with me one more time out of respect to God's word. As we read that, Joshua 1 verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Thank you so much. May the Lord add his blessing to this word this morning. Joshua is about to lead the people of Israel. Moses brought them out of Egypt, and they've been wandering for 40 years, right? Just wandering, just walking around, and they've been griping and complaining and sinning and everything else. And God's finally, a whole generation has died off, and God is about to allow them to enter the promised land. So he's speaking here to Joshua. And Joshua is about to lead them across the Jordan River on dry ground. They're not there yet, but before they go, and as they go in, the Lord gives Joshua specific instructions as to the plan of entering Canaan, the promised land. Before they could realize the vision of what God was going to do in the promised land, there were these, shall we say, preparatory prerequisites that needed to be accomplished, that they needed to see for that dream to come true. Some hoops they had to jump through, so to speak. Some things that needed to be accomplished before they could truly enjoy the vision that God had for them. Before the church's vision, God's vision for the church, can be truly realized, there are some steps that you and I have to take. There's a responsibility on our part. God's just not going to say, here it is, aren't you blessed? No, 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 no. We play a role in that as we submit ourselves to the Lord. We want to see that. We want to experience that. It just does not happen. And today I want to share with you five quick things concerning this particular story right here. As they're about to go into the promised land, God says, this needs to happen. If you want to see my vision for your life to come to fruition, if you want my blessing and you want my power and you want me to be a part of this whole thing, and you see and experience that land of milk and honey and live in freedom and joy and happiness, you got to do it my way. You got to do it my way. First of all, I want us to see, when we look at our title here, what are you prepared to do? I'll start each one of these off with, are you prepared? Are you prepared to, number one, turn the page? Are you prepared to turn the page? I mean, not literally. Some of you literally right now just went, you turn the page. Are you prepared to turn the page? Look at verses 1 and 2. Moses has died in verse number 1, and in verse number 2, God says to Moses, or says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now that he's dead, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. It's a new era, Joshua. It's a new time. My servant Moses led them out of Egypt. They wandered for 40 years. They didn't have to, by the way. Amen. They could have been in the promised land in a matter of days, but no, they had to whine and gripe, and oh, we want to go back to Egypt. So God said, fine, I'll let you wander there for 40 years. And that's what happened. An entire generation died. But now Joshua is about to take him in, and God's telling Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That era is come, and it is now gone. We're about to enter into a new land, a land you've never been to before, brother, and you're going to love it. I'm about to take you to a place where the wilderness is gone. The wandering is gone. A whole generation of complainers, gone. It was time to turn the page. A new time, a new land, new challenges, a new life. This vicious 40-year cycle of wandering and complaining and walking in circles and wanting to go back to Egypt. Now, it's time to enter the land. It's time to claim your ground. It's time to claim God's blessing and power. It's time to turn the page. It's time for something new. And when it comes to embracing God's vision, we must be of the same mindset. You know, the past is good. We want to be able to look at the past and learn from the past or remember the past, but to live in the past is not a good thing. They needed to leave that Egypt behind them. Remember, in Scripture, anytime we speak of Egypt, it's a picture of sin, right? Doesn't that sound biblical? Leaving sin behind, living worldliness behind. And that's what God is telling Joshua here. I'm about to take you into the promised land. You know, one day we're all going to die. Aren't you happy? I'm waiting for something there. Obviously, it's not going to happen. The Bible says that it is appointed for man once to die. But after this, the judgment. And oh, by the way, if you know Jesus, after this, say it. You can say it. Heaven. Okay, is that to put a smile on your face? It should. Now, obviously, we want to stick around here as long as we can. But nonetheless, we'll be turning the page. In Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Why? To do what? To redeem the world. What did Jesus do when he left heaven? He turned the page. What did Jesus do when he died on the cross for our sins? And then he rose from the dead. What did he do? He turned the page. When he ascended into heaven, he turned the page. By the way, he's going to turn the page again when he comes back. Amen? When he comes back again, it takes us all home. But he turned the page. Why? Because that's got part of God's vision for his life and for our lives. And I got to ask you, church, it's so difficult sometimes for some of us, but listen, if we are about to enter into the promised land of what God has for your life specifically, for the life of Central Baptist Church and any church, listen now, if that is going to take place, we've got to learn to do something. We got to learn to turn the page. We got to learn to reach out and experience new things. To step out in what? Faith. We've got to understand that what's back there is good, but you know what? God's got something even better out here for me. And, you know, we don't want to do that a lot of times. We like to hold on to our traditions. We like to hold on to our stuff. We like to hold on to our possessions. We like to hold on to those things that we've had for a long, 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 long time, you know, and we're not willing to give certain things up. But God says, if you want my blessing, Joshua, you got to learn. Leave Egypt behind, man. Leave all that wandering behind it. We're done with that. It's time to claim victory in the new land, man. Let's go. All right? Let's go get them. How many of us, if we were at playing ball, say you're playing in the Super Bowl one day, and you get all the way to the Super Bowl, through the playoffs, but then you get to the Super Bowl, and then you just go, well, you know what? I just don't, we've gone far enough. We'll just stay here in the locker room. I made my money. We'll just, no, no. Where are you going, man? You going to that field, aren't you? I want that ring. I want that title of Super Bowl champion. I want the, no, nobody does that. Why? Because they want to, they understand what greatness is out there, but they're not going to experience the greatness until they turn the page and go get them. You see? And that's what God is telling Joshua here. He's saying, listen, brother, I need you to not be concerned with Moses anymore. He's dead. He's gone. He's here in glory with me now. What I need you to do is I need you to turn that page, and I need you to cross that Jordan, because, boy, what I've got for you, it's some good stuff. Are you prepared to turn the page? Are you prepared to say, you know what? Whatever God's got for the Central Baptist Church, whatever God's got for my mind, I'm ready to turn the page. I'm ready to move on to the next thing. I'm ready to experience something new from God. I'm ready to step out in faith for God. Are you ready? Turn that page. Number two, are you ready? Are you prepared to stake your claim? Look at verses 3 and 4. Are you ready to stake your claim? Every place, God says, every place, think about that for a moment. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. You ever think about that? Mine. Think about all the places you've been this past week. Go ahead. Think about them. Anybody go to the grocery store this past week? Anybody go to a car dealership maybe? I don't know. Either buy a new car, get your car fixed. Anybody had to go to the courthouse? That's not a good thing. Unless you're called to be on jury duty. Anybody go work out this week? Anybody go to the ball field this week? Anybody get the haircut this week? Anybody go to the mall this week? I avoid the mall, amen? Good. Man, I just, every time I go there, one thing happens. I spend money. All right, that's never a good thing. Usually it's spending money on a double doozy. How many know what I'm talking about? Double doozy, brother. Woo, the best cookie on the planet. I have no idea why I just segued into that, but it worked. Stake your claim. He says, everywhere you step, look at it. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread I've given you. As I said to Moses, I told Moses the same thing. Man, every place you step, when you cross the Jordan, it is yours, brother. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, the great sea, going down to the sun, shall be your territory. Many of you remember from your history lessons, middle 1800s, was the great gold rush. Remember that? And people were heading out west. Go out west. The big gold rush out west, especially California. And when they got out there, they had to stake their claim, right? Literally, they took stakes in this is my land here. Here, here, and here. And all the minerals that were found on that land were yours. Anything that's found there, it's all yours. They staked their claim. And that's what God's telling Joshua here. Everywhere you step. Now, it's interesting here, if you look at this, this is not where Israel is today. If you've ever noticed Israel on a map, real small, isn't it? In fact, it's kind of hard to find if you're not looking for it. It's really, I mean, it's just really thin. And you can barely see it on a map. But if you look at this passage here, he says, the land that you walked upon. He says, the wilderness. Well, the wilderness today, that would be Asia Minor. That's owned by Egypt right now. That's supposed to be Israel's land. It's not. The wilderness. He says, Lebanon. Lebanon is a country just north of Israel. Israel should own that. It's not. It doesn't. Up to the river Euphrates. I don't know if you're familiar with the Euphrates River in the Middle East. You've got Iraq. The river Euphrates travels right through the middle of Iraq, Syria, and Turkey. All that country. All that there. God says, Joshua, I'm giving this to you, just like I told my servant Moses. I'm giving all this to you. The land of the Hittites was in northern Turkey, just north of Israel. The Great Sea, obviously, was the Mediterranean Sea. The point is this, God had this huge piece of land that they're not in right now, this huge piece of land that he wanted them to conquer and to take on for themselves. He wanted them to stake their claim on this land. But because of sin, they still don't have it even to this day. But he says, everywhere you step is God's land that he's given you, from eastern Turkey through Iraq, as far south as Lebanon and into Egypt. It's all yours, Joshua. Everywhere. Folks, listen. Everywhere we step is God's claim for us. Everywhere we go, it doesn't matter where you go. You go to the school. I'm not saying you go to the school. Dr. Martin, I'm claiming this ground. No, I'm not talking about that, Your workplace. Your sole of your foot goes there, doesn't it? You stake your claim there. What does that mean? It means you are living the Christian life to its fullest, and you're claiming that ground for God. You're praying for the people there, the grocery store, the car dealership, your realtor, the people that do your yard work, the people that do whatever, wherever you go throughout, and you think about all the places that you go throughout the week. Listen, that is your circle of influence for God. God's telling Joshua, stake your claim on this entire piece of land, this huge piece of land. It's all yours to live for God. And I believe God has given us the same thing today. If we're going to experience, if we're going to live in God's vision the way he desires that we are to live, then we need to take advantage of the land that he's given us. Amen. The areas that he's given us, and live for King Jesus in the midst of that, whatever that is, and wherever that is. This is why we have Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to what? The uttermost part of the... In other words, every inch of the planet. Folks, believe it or not, there are enough Christians on this planet to impact the entire planet, if we would simply fulfill God's vision for our lives. There lieth the problem. We're not willing to stake our claim very often. Are you prepared to do that in your workplace? Students, when you go back to school in August, are you going to be prepared to do that? Man, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to make the best grades. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless, I'm going to give, I'm going to care for my neighbor, I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love people here in my classroom, and everybody's going to know it. It's interesting, of course, with our school ministry here. Dr. Martin and I and teachers who live here, we know who the strong believers are, because it's evident, isn't it? They stick out like a sore thumb. Those who are nominal, average Christians who just kind of, it's obvious who those are too, because there's a huge difference between the two. Huge difference. And then those who we believe are probably unsaved, there's a pretty big difference there too, isn't there? I mean, you could pick them out. Now, if you called them out by name, they would get offended and get mad and tell mom, whatever, But the point is this, when you're living for God, you stick out. People notice. They can't help but notice. You're staking your claim when you do that. And that's what God is telling Joshua. I want you to stake your claim, man. I've given you the land. Now use it for the glory of God. And God is challenging us to do the same. Thirdly, are you prepared to, engage God's presence. Look at this, verse 5 and verse 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, stop. How was God with Moses? Stop and think about that for a moment. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Think about that. When and where did Moses encounter God? Think about those times. Mount Sinai, right? Burning bush. But it wasn't just the burning bush. There were multiple encounters of him going up to the mountain, so much so that when he came back, what happened to his face? It glowed. And he had to put a veil over his face. When the people saw him, they were like, whoa. What happened? Moses was totally transformed. Why? Because he directly engaged God until God changed him. In fact, one time, the time when he came down and his face was just bright and glowing, he was up there for so long that the people got worried, and what did they build? Remember that? Golden calf. Well, where'd Moses? Man, he had been. Where is it? Where's that guy? He should have been down days ago. He's not. Man, he was engaging God. He was engaging God. And I am a firm believer that often we miss out on God's best for our lives when we do not engage the Lord God. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. Listen, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Where do you experience fullness of joy? Where do you experience God's presence? Where do you experience God's right hand? At the very feet of God. You engage God. You encounter God. I love, write this verse down, Acts 4:13. I love this verse because it speaks of Peter and John who weren't very educated, who were very untrained. And people looked at them and they said, listen, these guys aren't it. These guys got no education. Dr. Martin, they don't have a doctorate. They don't have a master's. I don't even think they graduated high school. Amen. These guys are kind of dumb. But one thing they knew about these guys, they knew they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They were amazed. And they realized they had been with Jesus. Let me ask you a question, church. When people speak to you, when people talk to you, do they see that you've engaged the Holy God of the universe? Do they see the glow, if you will? Do they see that you've been transformed by the Spirit of God? Can they tell that you love King Jesus? Turn to, everybody, hold your finger there in your Bible. Turn to Psalm 139 with me, if you would, please. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Hear those Bible pages turning, that's good. You got your cell phone and you're just swiping, that's good too. Go for it, man. Just Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. Here's what happens when you engage God. You come before God, you realize how awesome He is, you realize how holy He is, and you cannot help but say these words in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's David the psalmist saying here? He's saying, man, I'm in the presence of God, and I can't help but fall on my face. Oh, God, please search my soul and see if there's anything that doesn't please. And he's in God's presence. And that's where Joshua was, and that's where Moses was. Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Your place, my place, every believer's place, our number one priority, an appointment of all appointments, is at the very throne of God, at the very feet of Jesus, on our faces before a holy God, seeking mercy and seeking grace and forgiveness and power and holiness and encouragement and praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him and exalting Him and lifting Him up on high. Because it's then, that is when we are changed. That's when we're transformed. That's when we're closer to Him than we've ever been before. And we're totally different every day that we live. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to engage God? Fourthly, are you prepared to immerse myself in God's Word? Write that down. Immerse myself. Am I prepared? Am I prepared to immerse myself in God's Word? Are you? If you look at verses 7 and 8, going back to Joshua 1. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What's God telling Joshua here? God's telling Joshua, Joshua, get into the Word, man. Think about it. Pray about it. Get into the book of the law, man. Don't let it depart from it. If you'll notice here, several phrases here. He says that if you observe to do all. The word observe there means to keep it, to watch it, to preserve it, hold it close, and do exactly what it says. When it says that there's no turning, that means when, you know, and in today's society, this is a sad thing in today's society when it comes to the Word of God, because people take it and they twist it and they turn it to make it look like their own beliefs. They don't use God's Word as their foundation. They don't use God's Word as their precipice. They use what they think as their foundation and then say, okay, does God's Word now fit what I think? And what happens? They turn from it to the right or to the left. That's what they do. They twist it, they turn it, and they say, well, you know, that was for them then, and that was for this over here, and that was for that group over there. No, sin is sin, amen? I say sin is sin, amen? There is no middle ground there. If God says, thus saith the Lord, guess what? Thus saith the Lord. That's the end of it, you know? But we don't, engage in God's presence and we don't immerse ourselves in the Word of God, we're not sure where we stand doctrinally. And when people out there say, well, you know, it's really okay to have this lifestyle over here and it's okay to do that over there, and it's really not that big of a deal that, you know, it's just abortion and it's just women's rights and it's just this over here where we really don't agree with that because that's kind of old-fashioned, and you know we're just testing our marriage out, so we're going to live together for a little while. And no! What does thus saith the Lord say about it? Amen? We've twisted it. We've allowed people and Satan to twist the Word of God. And it's because we have not immersed ourselves in the Word of God. We've turned from it to the right and to the left. We've taken shortcuts. We've taken detours. And by the way, we just can't say that about the lost and the ungodly. I say we could say that about a lot of Christians. Show of hands, how many of us would say, Pastor, I know for a fact that I pray as I ought. Anybody? By the way, I'm including myself. Notice my hand's not up. How many of us share the gospel as often as we ought? Go ahead, you can raise your hand. I know I don't. You see? So we're in the same boat. But if we are in God's presence and we are immersing our lives in the Word of God and studying the Word of God, more and more you become stronger and you become convicted about it. And you begin to understand what God's heart is and what God's vision is for your life because you've immersed yourself in the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, keep speaking it. Never lose that. Keep talking about it. Talking about King Jesus. Talking about your church. Talking about whatever God's doing in your life. Talking about it constantly. Meditating on it day and night, 24/7. No breaks. No vacations. Well, you know, we're going on vacation. We'll be gone for the weekend, so we're just going to tell God what we've got. We'll take some time off here. What? I sure am glad the crucifixion didn't take place on a weekend. Amen? Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have time for that now, Father. after all, it's Saturday. No. If it were on a Saturday, he'd have been on that cross. And if it were on a Sunday, he'd have been on the cross. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Didn't matter what day of the week it was. Why? Because King Jesus was totally committed to it. And we should be as well. Take your Bibles with me. Psalm 119. The largest chapter in all of Scripture. Well, I tell you, we start reading Psalm 119, you're thinking, man, is this thing ever going to end? Psalm 119, verse 9. We need to immerse ourselves in God's Word. Watch this now. Whew, man, this is pretty pointed. Psalm 119 is all about God's Word. You look through here, man, you find words like, precepts and instruction and word and ways and testimonies. And you just find these words throughout all of Psalm 119. But look at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? What do y'all think? Don't read. How y'all think? Okay, keep reading now. How? How? By taking heed according to what? So you can say it. It's all right. How? Your word. The word. You want to stay out of sin? Anybody in here want to stay out of sin? Go ahead. Let me hear about it. Do you want to stay out of sin? Know it and obey it. By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Man, can you hear the love here by the psalmist? Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Blessed are you, O Lord. Please, please, please teach me your statutes. I'd say this writer here is in love with the word of God. How about you? It's the kind of love we need. God's word is there to guide us. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It convicts us, as we know from Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, when it speaks of the word of God being as sharp as a two-edged sword, and it's able to cut and to pierce through the bone and the marrow and into the joints and into the... Why? Because it's ready... Listen, the word of God there, are you listening? The word of God is there to cut out the spiritual cancer. If anybody, any of us... in the past have had cancer, or you're currently battling cancer. You want that stuff cut out, don't you? Amen? Yeah. That's what God's word does. It gets rid of that which harms you and hurts you. Are you prepared to immerse yourself in God's word? You see, if we're going to embrace and experience the vision of God, we must immerse ourselves in the word of God. What's God saying? If you want to embrace my vision for your life, for this church, one must immerse yourself in scripture. Study it, proclaim it, meditate on it, do it. Are you prepared? And lastly, are you prepared to take steps of faith? Three times in this passage, verse 6, 7, and 9, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. In fact, if you look at verse number 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Underline that word there. The word afraid there, write down, if you, some of you write in your Bibles, the word there means to tremble or shake. Why would God say that to Joshua? He's about to enter into the promised land. He's about to encounter enemies that would just as soon slit his throat, right? So why would God say, don't tremble, don't shake, don't be afraid? Why would God say that? Because the tendency would be for Joshua to be what? Afraid. Would you? You're going to a land you've never been before? You don't know what's out there. And we're just a bunch of people, a bunch of hicks that have been wandering for 40 years, and well, we're going to give this thing a shot. Let's see what happens. And you got the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites. Remember we preached about all that last week? All those otherites that are out there going into enemy territory. So it's going to take some steps of faith. The word dismayed there in that same verse, dismayed means shattered. Shattered. And isn't that exactly what Satan wants with each and every one of us? He wants to defeat you. He wants to cause you to tremble, to shake. He wants to shatter your Christianity. So what is God's prescription for Satan shattering your Christianity? Take steps of faith, man. You don't see the next step, but be strong and courageous. Follow God's vision for your life. Follow what God wants you to do. Take those steps of faith. To realize God's vision for Israel, the people would have to walk a place where they had never been before, where an enemy was located and they had never met before. No holding back, no holding on, a complete leap of faith. It's not like they were trying to jump out of an airplane. You know, when you jump out of an airplane, hopefully with a parachute on, amen? All right, got to keep the parachute on. But when you jump out, you don't jump out and try to hold on to the side and your body's just kind of flapping in the wind, does it? No. When you jump, you what? You jump. There's no holding back. You're not sitting there holding on with your toe. Well, don't let me go yet. No, man, when you jump, that's what steps of faith is. There's no holding back there. This is why God so clearly says in a verse that we all know so very well, and sometimes I feel like we just kind of gloss over it. Trust in the Lord with
all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Yeah? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. God wants us to take steps of faith. Man, listen, church. I want God to do great things in your life. I want God to do great things in the life of this church. But it isn't just going to happen. We have to be willing to step out in faith, to do some things differently. It was so funny. You know, I take joy in messing with some of you. Last week, when y'all came in here, I took joy in just kind of standing here and watching some of you. We went from two sections of chairs to three. Bless your hearts, some of you didn't know what to do. There were some folks that were just kind of going. I'll pick on Brother Edel. He's not here today. Pray for Brother Edel. He had some dental work done. He's not feeling well today. Oh, Brother Edel, we know, don't we, church? Middle row, middle, on the very corner, on this side over here, right? Brother Edel, come in. Pastor? He didn't do that. He did do that when I changed the chairs around last year, though. Pastor, I got a question for you. Listen, church, it's not just going to happen. Change comes when we engage God, when we get into the Word, when we decide we're going to take steps of faith, when we turn the page, when we do those things that Joshua had to do. They just didn't enter the promised land. You'll find as you continue to read this chapter, at the very end, God says, tell these things to the people. And at the end of the chapter, you know what the people said? Yes, sir, we're going to do it. And what do? They then proceeded to walk across the Jordan on what? Dry ground, dry land. Once we have turned the page on the past and reached out for God's future and let go of our preferences and our traditions, once we've staked our claim, everywhere I go, every person I come in my sphere of influence, I live for them, live Jesus for them, share God with them. When I engage God and I'm transformed by His very presence, when I'm immersed in the very Word of God, when I take that leap of faith to say, okay, God, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to do it anyway. Joshua here embraced God's vision for his people. Will you embrace God's vision for your life? Will you embrace God's vision as we begin to talk some more about that towards the end of the month for our church family? To do so, you must be prepared. The question is, are you? What are you prepared to do? Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What are you prepared to do? You know, the beginning of this journey of fulfilling God's plan for our lives and embracing God's vision, you know what it all begins? It begins at salvation. It begins when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I wonder, out of all of us in here today, how many of you would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know I've accepted Christ as my Savior. If I died today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I have accepted and trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you, as a testimony to the Lord, just lift your hand this morning and say, yes, that's me, Pastor. I've accepted the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Put your hands down. Just at this moment of prayer, just thank God for salvation. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the cross and Him reaching out to you. Maybe you may not know. You may not know. Things are happening all the time in our society and around the world of things going awry and people losing their lives without even a moment's notice. You never know what's going to happen. As I said earlier, it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, I got great news for you. You can do that right now. In this air-conditioned room, in the comfort of this cushy seats that you're in right now, you can accept Christ as Savior. Right now, you can call out to the Lord. If you're not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, right now, would you call out to Him? You could call out to Him and just, I'm going to pray a short prayer. And this comes from the heart. You're not just saying words. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to yourself, but rather you're calling out to God. And you're just saying, Dear God, I realize I'm a sinner, and I realize I can't go to heaven because I'm sinful and you're holy. But God, I do believe that Jesus is Christ. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that he's the Son of God, and God, I believe that he is the only way to heaven. So God, as best as I know how, please forgive me. I'm asking you. Please come into my life and save me. I turn from my sin and I turn to you and I give you my life. Would you call out to him right now? Dear God, please save me. I wonder if there's anyone in the room this morning, as we continue in a spirit of prayer, would say, Pastor, that's me. I just prayed and I just asked Jesus to come into my life to save me. I didn't know before, but now I know. Now I called on the Lord to come into my life and save me. Would you be willing right now, just to quietness of this moment, no one's looking around, no one's looking around, just to raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, that's me. I had the courage, I'm having the courage right now to raise my hand and say, I asked Jesus into my life here this morning. Anyone at all? Believers, where are we in our Christian walk? Are you living in the old school traditions? There's nothing wrong with old school. But people change. Churches change. Life changes. You need to turn the page on something in your life. Maybe something you've been holding on to. Maybe you're holding on to some anger. Maybe you're holding on to some spite. Maybe you're holding on to some unforgiveness. It's time to turn the page. How's your spiritual life, church, when it comes to immersing yourself in the Word of God? When it comes to being in the very presence of God and engaging God in His presence? Or taking those steps of faith, as difficult as they are. By the way, when you take steps of faith, you're going into the unknown. And it's scary. But that's where God is. That's where God calls us. If we are going to embrace the vision of God for our lives and for the life of this church, we must first be prepared to do so. Father, bless during this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.